And I'll be reading Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Well, about Easter time last year, I went down to Mount Barney with a couple of people. We were hiking the mountain, and it's a bit of a long hike. It's a long day if you haven't done that one before. We started at about 6 a.m. in the morning, and we didn't get back till about 3:30 in the afternoon. But I have to say, it is an incredible view at the top. You could see the ocean as far as the eye could see. You could see the Toowoomba Range as well. You're higher than anything else around you. We could even see the city as well. It was about 100 k's away. You could go left or right. And we ended up turning left. We thought that was the way to go. But what a bright idea that was, because about 5 minutes later, we realized we lost the path. We didn't know where we were. We were bush bashing everywhere, trying to figure it out. And so we still thought we were doing the right thing, but we just couldn't quite find the path. And about 20 minutes later, we realized we should have gone right, not left. So we eventually scrambled, made our way back. I had this really cool app on my phone that sort of showed where to go, because we didn't have internet, but it still worked and led us to the right spot. We needed to be shown the way when we lost it. And that's what we'll be looking at today in Psalm 1. There are two different ways to go, and we need to be shown the right way. And as we're going to see today, there's a way of delight in the Lord, and it never withers or fades. And there is a way that is temporary and empty, living against God. And this is really what all the Psalms are about. It's about these two different ways to live. And this Psalm, Psalm 1, it isn't at the start of this book by chance. It's there for a reason. It sort of sets up the rest of the Psalms. Lots of Psalms are people addressing God at particular moments, but not this Psalm. It's not zoned into a particular personal story or event. It's sort of zoomed out. It's covering everything and everyone. It's addressed to the righteous, those who belong to God, and the wicked, those who have chosen to reject him. This is for everyone. It's so broad, but so personal. This psalm is for you. And today we're going to look at three main things. Firstly, the righteous find joy in God. Secondly, the emptiness of the wicked, and how Jesus leads the way into joy. So firstly, the righteous find joy in God. Now these first three verses in the psalm, they show us what it means to be righteous. And the first point that this psalm makes is that the righteous person is blessed. It says there right at the start, blessed is the one who does these things. Other translations, you might have the word happy as well. We'll see that they are happy because they don't do the things the wicked do. They don't follow the wicked, and they delight in the Lord. This psalm, it gives us direction and meaning into what it looks like to be happy and find joy in the Lord. It gives purpose. So let's see how it directs us. First, we find out what the happy person doesn't do. Let's read verse 1 again, where it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." We're given three different examples, and they're all kind of very physical. The words are walk, stand, and sit. These are actions that we take, and we don't want our actions to follow the wrong people. But that's easier said than done, because when you're present among the wrong people, when the pressure is there, it can be so difficult. We make a lot of decisions we later regret, because in the moment it was just easier to go with what everyone else was doing. And I know I have. It's wise to be aware of the company that you're in. Do you constantly find yourself put in positions with people where it's so easy to fail? I mean, you can't bubble wrap yourself up and never see the sunlight again, but it's a good thing to think through your weaknesses and how to prevent them. For example, if I was a shopaholic and I love spending all my time and money buying the latest trendy clothes, as you can probably tell, to the point where my bank balance looked like our emergency services phone number, it's probably not a good idea to continue shopping at Chermside. But I still need food to survive, so I would need to choose wisely what shops I go to. See, it's so easy to fail, but we do have a choice. We aren't called to avoid and run away from the rest of the world or from Chermside, but we are called to not go along with the things that are opposed to God. And that might influence the movies you go to, the language you use, the relationships you enter into, and the kind of job you will or won't take. And these sorts of decisions, they can take wisdom. But this psalmist is clear that we are not to walk in step with the wicked, to not stand in the way that sinners take, or to not sit in the company of mockers. Instead, we need to be different. So we see verse 1, it shows us what the happy person doesn't do. And verse 2 shows us what the happy person does do. Let's have a read again of verse 2, where it says, "The happy person, what they do is they delight in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." Now, firstly, you might see the word law and you think to yourself, yeah, right, well, I don't really love laws that much. I guess it's good to follow them, but I can't exactly say I'm filled with delight to pay my taxes. For myself, I don't particularly delight in my drive out to Sanford right now. There's a bunch of roadworks going on, following those 40 and 60 speed limit signs, waiting for 10 minutes at a set of light where there is nothing going on. It's not the best part of my day. But laws are there for a reason. This passage, it isn't talking about laws as we would think. We often think to be laws as negative, but the original translated word used was Torah, which means God's instruction or his teaching or his word. God has designed us. He knows what's best for us. So we should listen to his teaching because we know it's good. And because of Jesus, we can delight in God's word. Jesus teaches us how to live. And we know these things because he's revealed them to us through his Bible by the work of the Holy Spirit. We are blessed to know this. We are happy to live out God's design. And we do this with delight. When you look for a job, one of the most common pieces of advice given would be to do something you love. Because if you do something you love, you will never work a day in your life. And following God, it shouldn't be a chore, something that we have to do. It's something we love to do. Here at church, for example, our welcome team, they love to smile at you, greet you as you walk in the door instead of giving you the cold shoulder. We have morning tea together because we value community, that community we have because of Jesus, instead of being on our phones and running off as soon as church is over. We love to serve and care for others, not just because we should, but there's a real sense of unity and love when we belong to Christ. And we want to reflect that. Understanding the incredible care God shows us, reading about his deep and profound love, isn't something boring. It's meaningful. It's a delight. It's worth devoting your life towards because it's everything. We never work a day in our lives under God because it is a delight to be on mission for the one who has rescued us and never stops loving us. And we don't just delight in the law of God, we meditate on it day and night. And when I say meditate, I don't mean sit cross-legged on the ground, clear your mind of all your thoughts. And we don't meditate on the law by sitting on the Bible. Instead, we fill our head with God's word. Day and night we read it, we dwell on it. Day and night we pray and give thanks to God for his direction and teachings, because without him, we are lost. Now, this isn't saying that if you don't constantly have your head reading your Bible, you are wicked, and that's it. But our lives need to be shaped by God's word. We want to constantly remind ourselves of the joy that we have in God. Because we have quite the goldfish brain. We forget things all the time. I lose my phone and my wallet my keys, my AirPods all the time. There have been several occasions where I go to sit on my motorbike and start it, and I feel like something's wrong, and because my helmet's still in my room and I haven't put that on yet. So we need to read and remind ourselves and be encouraged by God's word. Because it's a real privilege to have the Bible. It's here, it's printed, translated for us to read. This is God speaking to us through the hands of so many people over so many years. It's incredible. And how are you going at reading the Bible? I mean, outside of church and growth groups and youth throughout the week, are you meditating on God's word? Our church has a Bible reading plan, and if you don't know where to start, how you start reading the Bible, I'd encourage you to take that up. And there's plenty of resources out there. Just ask someone. Day and night we delight in the law of God because there is such peace, comfort, and stability from him. In verse 3, the poetry of Psalms, it comes more to life as we're given the image of a sturdy tree and a beautiful stream. We find out that the righteous are sturdy. Now let's have a read of that now. It says, that person, the righteous one, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Now, I want you to imagine a strong, sturdy tree. It's got a solid trunk that sinks into the soil. The roots span meters throughout the ground. It's lush, full of leaves. If you love climbing trees, go for it. There's plenty of room in there. If you're feeling somewhat less youthful, why not just sit under the shade of the tree that it provides? It's full of good fruit to eat. Yes, it is a good thing to eat fruit. It could be a mango or an apple. Maybe the tree has Macca's Happy Meals on it. Whatever you want, the tree provides. It's fruitful, and it's got such a presence to it. Alongside this tree, there is a peaceful yet full stream that flows past. All the nutrients the tree needs is right there. I'd love to just sit under the tree with my head against the trunk, maybe throw some pebbles into the stream as the leaves rustle above my head. This tree is magnificent, tall, and sturdy. A righteous person finds stability in God. And that's something we greatly need. All around us, our world feels fragile and unsteady. The rug is pulled out from under our feet. The world is constantly changing around us. Our finances are taking a hit. We get so many mixed messages through the internet and through people we know. It feels like nothing to be grounded in. But there is something that remains true. God never changes. We can find peace and stability in him. The righteous are like trees planted by streams of water. Through Jesus, we are grounded and have a firm foundation. And God strengthens us. He sustains us as a tree does, as a stream does for a tree. Not just to survive, but to bear fruit and to prosper with what God has planned. Because his plan never fails. And he gives us everything we need to act upon his word, to not wither away. After this picture of this sturdy tree, the tone changes. The focus in the psalm, it switches from the righteous person to now the wicked person. So next we're going to have a look at that now, have a look at the emptiness of a wicked life. Let's have a read of verse 4 again, where it says, not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. This verse, it's the opposite to a tree. It's chaff. It's empty. It has no substance to it. The wind carries it away. And if you don't know what chaff is, it's basically the seed coverings or debris from various crops. And it's just completely worthless. It has no substance to it. I was working on a farm one year when the wheat harvest was happening. And you see as the harvester is going through, the grain heads go into the harvester and it threshes inside. All the grain is stored inside the harvester. And quite literally out the back, the chaff and debris is just spat out the back. The wind carries it away. It goes into the soil, never to be seen again. It's worthless. And in the same way, living against God amounts to nothing. A life like this is so worthless. And our culture, we love to be busy. We value it. We value people who are on the grind, pursue riches, make a name for yourself. Before we leave, we must leave a legacy for our kids. We want more and more. We take more and more until we are left with a giant pile of chaff. It all amounts to nothing in the end. There is no substance to a wicked life. There is no purpose without God because he is the creator, the sustainer, the stream that flows alongside his people, providing for them. To be wicked means having nothing to ground yourself in. And that's a harsh reality to be confronted by. But the truth is, that's what we are. We're wicked, sinners, mockers. By our nature, we are against God. That's our default. And if we continue on that path, we are like chaff that is blown away in the wind. Living a life like this can often come in pretty packaging. It promises something to live up to. It promises that it's worth it. But it's such an illusion. Well, have you ever received a gift before? Maybe it's a small light object, but someone has decided to be funny and they wrap it up inside this massive box. It looks heavy and full. You excitedly grab it off the person only to find out that it weighs nothing. This tiny little present wrapped inside this big box, you start to feel a little ripped off. And pursuing a life turned away from God, it amounts to nothing. It's a trick. Don't fall for it. In verse 5, we see the end result of the wicked. Let's have a read where it says, "Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous." Verse 5 shows us that the wicked will not stand in the judgment. As the wind blows away the chaff, the wicked will be swept away from the world they've tried to build for themselves, to a place that does not know God's love. See, it's a really depressing thought to look into the future with nothing in sight. But it's an even more depressing future to look into the future knowing that there's judgment and punishment awaiting you. The wicked are destined for this, those who turn their backs on God. The wicked will not be part of the assembly of the righteous in God's promised kingdom because they chase after a life that promised so much yet delivered nothing. They will not be with the ones who are blessed. They will not be with God's incredible promises. And this week, I made some pretty big promises myself to everyone in the office. As I was making hot chocolate with the coffee machine, like frothing up the milk with the chocolate powder in it, I did something a little different. A light bulb went off inside my head. See, I started combining Milo and chocolate powder together to make my drink. I was raving on about it. It was extraordinary. It tastes amazing. It's out of this world. I promised everyone, trust me, this is out of this world. They all thought I was crazy, and they still do. But I guess perhaps I talked it up more than it deserves. Although in saying that, I recommend you guys give it a go. It's pretty good. See, we love to hype things up above what they really deserve, to overpromise and underdeliver. But that's not what God does. God's promise to us that through Jesus, we become part of the assembly of the righteous. And that will ultimately mean so much more than we could possibly imagine. In the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And later on it continues, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." God has promised us new life where righteousness dwells. He is patient with us. He wants us to repent. This new life we are promised is incredible, to be among the assembly of the righteous, to be together. Instead of looking ahead to nothing, look to the promise that Jesus makes. Look forward to a new, unbroken life spent with him forever, instead of being fixated on the emptiness of a wicked life. You will find as you read and discover the Bible, there is so much richness to this promise that Jesus makes. And the more you read, the more you discover. The first five verses, they give us a contrasting picture into the lives of the righteous and the wicked. And it wraps up in verse 6, where we are given two ways to live, and we will find how Jesus leads the way. Now, if you had to make a choice, if you had to pick a holiday destination, you might pick a very picturesque spot, somewhere that fills your heart with joy. You may have a fan favorite yourself. Last year, I was in Mongolia with my family, and I never got bored of seeing the endless rolling grassy hills to be lost in. And I mean get lost literally, because our driver who lives there, it all looks the same. He got us lost several times in valleys. See, it was a new and exciting world compared to where I came from. And if you had the choice, would you rather spend your time in your dream place, your ideal holiday destination, or spend the rest of your life on the south side? I think I know what I would prefer. See, there are two ways to live, two options to choose from. There is no one without the other. It's black and white, light and dark. There is no fence to sit on. And verse 6 gives us the two sides. Let's read that again where it says, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." There is a choice to be made. There are only two ways to go, but it's not over yet. It's not all completely said and done. Judgment hasn't happened yet. God is patient with us. This is particularly important when thinking about the wicked. So you notice how it says that the way of the wicked leads to destruction, not the wicked are destroyed. See, it matters which direction you are leading, but the end result is what counts. For example, at the start of the year, I hiked the Tasmanian Overtrack with a couple of people from church. And in the lead up to that, we wanted to make good decisions about what to buy, the gear to get, appropriate to the climate. It's going to be cold and wet, so we need to buy jumpers and jackets and raincoats. We need to map out the track so we don't get lost, book flights to get there, buy the most glorious and best tasting freeze-dried food on the planet. But instead of that, what if I just ignored all of the advice? I went with a cheaper alternative. Instead, I plan to rock up with my shorts and t-shirt, no water or food, bare feet, no bag, just me and my positive attitude. We see that I'm setting myself up for failure. The way I'm going is not going to end well. But I still have a chance to turn that around before I go. The wicked will be destroyed, but not yet. There is still a chance to turn things around. You are not too far gone because judgment hasn't happened yet. The way of the wicked leads to destruction, but the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. The Lord watches over us. And there's a difference between watching someone or watching over someone. For example, if you're taking care of a child at a beach and you see them and they can clearly not swim, stumble over to the water's edge, I'm pretty sure you should do something about that. Don't watch them, don't observe them. You're not a tourist at the zoo. You watch over them, look out for them, because you care and love and protect them. And that's God. He cares and loves us. He watches over the righteous, those who choose to follow him, instead of letting them be destroyed. So take that step towards him, because he will graciously accept you because of what Jesus has done for us. Now there's another part in the Bible where Jesus is teaching And he uses similar language that we have here when looking at two ways to live. It's from Matthew chapter 7, and it says, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Here, instead of the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked, we have the wide and narrow gate. The wide gate is broad, it's the easy option. Many people choose to take that path, and the people that choose that way are led to destruction, much like we see in Psalm 1. And just because it's easy and everyone else is doing it doesn't make it better or more right, because Matthew tells us to instead enter the narrow gate. The narrow road leads to life, to the joy that we have in Christ. The path, it has its challenges. We live in a broken world, but the reward is incredible. And we need someone to show us the way, to no longer walk in step with the wicked, but rather delight in the Lord and all that he has shown us, so that we can be like a tree with a strong foundation, with Jesus who gives us all we need. Jesus is the one who shows us the way to life with him. And there's a passage from John chapter 14, 6, which talks about this, and it says, "Jesus answered, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" Without Jesus, we can't go to God. We are wicked and we don't have a leg to stand on. But because of his great love for us, he made a way through his son, Jesus. And he gives us a choice to make, whether we want to belong to him, to be part of his family, or whether we continue on the road that leads to destruction. We don't know when our time is up. There is a real sense of urgency to make this decision, to follow the way of the righteous, to put our trust in Jesus. We deserve death for our wickedness, but Jesus, in his unconditional love, flipped that around onto himself to experience the struggles that we experience, to feel pain, grief, and loss. To be nailed to a cross, he received the judgment so that we wouldn't have to, so that we would be forgiven, to have a new life with Christ who shows us the way. When I got lost for that brief time on Mount Barney, the path that I ended up going on left in a tangled mess. I was going nowhere. I was getting cuts all over me for nothing when I should have gone the right way to the path I was supposed to be on and follow that path to the destination I was heading. There are two ways to live. There's the way of the righteous, which brings blessing and stability and leads to eternal life. And there's the way of the wicked, the empty illusion that a life turned away from God might seem good, but as chaff, it leads to destruction. And Jesus, he lays out everything we need to not get lost. We have the way in him. And so how helpful it is to be pointed towards that path this morning, to know God who loves and watches over us, to have a firm foundation with Jesus, and to find an incredible relationship with the one who watches over us and cares for us deeply. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for rescuing us and inviting us to be part of your family. Thank you for the sure hope we have in Jesus and that you have forgiven us. I pray that we wouldn't spend our life pursuing the way of the wicked, rather that we would seek to live for you as you watch over us. And we look forward to the incredible promises that you have given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.